bucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday morning, 6 minutes after the hour. Got a jam-packed show for you coming up today here in about a half hour. Chris McCooley's running for Alabama Supreme Court. He'll be with us. I'll make a quick appearance. Then a pair of former state senators in the 10 o'clock hour. Trip Pittman, a former state senator for my neck of the woods. And then a good friend of the program, always enjoy having him on, former state senator Rusty Glover. So that's at the 11 o'clock hour. You want to stay tuned for that. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106. Need to be in touch with the program. Utilize that text line. But we're going to kick it off here early today with our first guest. He is come to the Fairhope Bureau. We're always very, very grateful when folks come here in person. But Congressman Jerry Carl, 1st Congressional District, joins us here. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. I'm great. And I tell you, Sean should be jealous of your setup over here.
He's not been here yet.
Well, he should really be jealous. I'm telling you. I'll spread the word.
Well, you're very kind to say that. Well, before we'll kick it off here, I guess it's, just in general, How is the job? I mean, your second term now, and it's been, that first term was pretty.
Yeah, that was brutal.
But then you get that win in the midterms, and now y'all are in a majority, so it's things are looking up, it seems.
Well, it's a challenge even with a majority. With a majority, you have to actually vote yes or no. You have to give it some consideration. So it's a challenge, this vote. I love the job. I love the changes. I love it every day getting up, trying to focus on a different issue. That just fits my personality. And, having a great staff around you and great people to clean everything up is so important. And I can't brag enough about my folks, not just in Washington, but my folks in my district office. I mean, they handle stuff that you wouldn't dream of. And, I'm dealing with them at 9, 10 o'clock at night. We're trying to get somebody out of a country or trying to get a visa or, one case we had a body down in Mexico we were trying to get back. And they just never quit. VA issues, all the VA issues. So you just can't say enough about the young people and staff and that run so much of this country, this entire country. So I think I got the best.
And you got passports now.
Oh, yeah. And we do a pretty good job with passports. Our girls really do in the mobile office. They have processed a tremendous amount of passports, and hopefully – we're coming out of the traveling season, the kids getting back in school. So that'll slow up a little bit and we can get the actual passport offices to start processing more. But yeah. They've done a good job, and we've got some folks that have worked well with us at the passport office.
Well, let's start here with, you're speaking to Eastern Shore Republican Women today, right after my show wraps up, but the, redistricting and where that is headed, and I know you'll speak about that later, but talk to us a little bit about that. Any anticipations, any thoughts on that?
Well, the House did an incredible job putting their version together. The Senate did an incredible job putting their version together. They came out with the version that we're looking at now, and I appreciate all the work and effort they put into it. I'm very pleased if it stays the way it is. I'll have to give up Washington County, which I don't want to do that. And, of course, Monroe County, I'll have to give that up, but I'll actually take Covington County in replacement of those two. So if it stays the way it is, we should know something by this time next week, if the courts are going to accept it or not. If they accept it, we know where we're at. We can start campaigning. If they don't accept it, they've already got a three-panel group put together to redraw the lines. And then when they redraw the lines, that will be the final. That's what we'll run with. And what they're actually trying to do is pull about 117,000 people out of what they would like to do in this lawsuit is pull 117,000 black people that are in north portion of Mobile County. They want to pull those out and use them in District 2. That's their real goal. And our argument has been Mobile, Baldwin County have so much in common, and we work on so many different issues as one to split us up regardless of our race. But to split us up, it is not the way to go. So that's been our argument. The Senate's made that argument. House has made that argument here in the state. I think they've done a good job. We bumped into Steve Marshall yesterday, literally on the streets in Birmingham. We bumped into him. walked across the parking lot, and he come walking by, but he seemed pretty confident. And again, we should know something next week. They pled the case, I think it was last Friday, the verbal portion of it, and got that out of the way.
Yeah, Barbara Drummond, who's in the state legislature now, had an op-ed, and she thinks there's a commonality with the African American community in Mobile County and the Black Belt. What do you say to that argument?
Well, I know Barbara. She and I have always worked together. I respect the lady. I truly do. But I totally disagree with her on this one. I think, as she referred to the red dirt of Dallas County in links to Mobile County, I see very little in common there. I see probably Dallas County would like to be more like Mobile County. You know, especially with the industry, and you know, that's the only thing I could honestly say in her relationship. But I totally disagree. That's she's putting a spin on it best she can. But I don't see a way that I could back that up or agree with that at all.
Well,
I did read it, by the way.
You did. I saw it. It's like, well, I mean, I guess that's where a lot of Democrats are. They want.
Yeah,
that's the push to get the two.
Yeah, so if they can get Dallas County and Mobile County and in District 2, that's their whole focus, which is Barry Moore's district, that will change the demographics there dramatically. When I say dramatically, it'll change it, you know, from probably 30% now, 35% at the most. It'll change it to more like a 55 or 60% black. Well, I was always raised don't base things on color of a man's skin. But it seems like that's where all this is going. It's all a race issue, and it's like we're backing up in this country.
Well, the politics will be fascinating. Whatever happens, this could dramatically change Alabama politics for decades. The consultants, and if you have swing districts, and suddenly two competitive districts or something we haven't had in a long time in Alabama at the same time, it's really going to leave a mark.
Yeah, well, you know, they're going to take two districts, and they're obviously trying to switch District 2 again, which is Barry's, and they're trying to switch it to a minority, a black-leaning district, I think is the term they use. What does leaning mean? Does that mean 40%? Does that mean 51%? No one can define that. The courts did not define it that close. But in doing that, they're going to pull Terry Sewell's down, which is District 7, will pull her numbers down from a 70% black majority down to about a 50 or 51. So we still, when you say 50 or 51, we don't know if those are Republicans. We don't know if they're Democrats. All we know is it's a black community. And she could easily lose that district too. So, and we need another vote on the floor. I'll be honest with you. So you'll see us going after both seats best we can.
Yeah, that's what the Republican Party chairman, John Wall, says that he thinks. I mean, there's not much of a Democratic Party infrastructure right now at all. In a Trump wave, both of those seats could be in play.
Oh, it definitely could be. And Terry has been a very good friend, and we have worked well together. It's just the way it is. I mean, I'm sorry, but again, we need that vote on the floor. We need 10 more, not 4 more. We need as many as we can get.
You don't have the weird situation. Like, yeah, with the speaker's race earlier this year, it gives a little bit of a cushion. Well, I want to change gears here. The this Comer investigation, now they have something, or that committee has something to substantiate all these allegations of some kind of corruption, some kind of bribe. Any takeaways from that? I know you've been watching it.
Of course, I've been watching it. I had breakfast with Comer the other morning, just he and I sitting there talking for about an hour. And of course, he didn't divulge anything. You don't tell a congressman anything you don't want the world to know. So he kept, you know, the dark secrets. But there's two more accounts that we're really trying to get access to that we, we feel like the real flow of money actually went to that will tell us a lot about what's going on. And I don't think anybody's whispered that. I think everybody's talked very loudly about those two accounts. I know I have been. You know, I want people to understand that, you know, what we're uncovering and what we're finding is great. Our job is to write laws. It's DOJ's job to enforce laws. Most people don't realize that because they want to know when we're going to prosecute them, when we're going to bring them to court. That's not our job. You know, our job's DOJ, and I don't mean that as an excuse or a cop-out, but until we can convince the DOJ we've got enough stuff there for them to launch an investigation, and I honestly believe I want to find the good part in this country. I honestly believe that there may be an investigation going on that nobody's talking about, that they're actually pulling these resources together. Because it doesn't take an idiot to see the connection between the president, between his son, between these oligarchs, between all these folks and all this money. It's not rocket science. Why would you give a 14-year-old child, whatever it was, $60,000? Why would you give a 14-year-old child $60,000? I mean, you're washing money. That's all you're doing. You don't want it to all go to one source. You want it to go to multi-sources so that the figures don't stand out. But, you know, when you look at what the banks did, you know, the banks threw these red flags. I've been in business my entire life. To my knowledge, I've never had a red flag thrown, and I've moved money around. I mean, it's a part of doing business. But, you know, the Bidens have got 171 times it's been red flags thrown on stuff they're involved in. I mean, that alone should open up an investigation. Somebody should investigate them on number three, not 171 or 172.
Well, I know you said you don't want to chase the ghost of the past and the, you know, this tit for tat. It could go on forever, but how close do you think the House is to moving on impeachment?
I think that's something we're going to have to deal with. And I'm one of those that, if it comes up on impeaching Biden, I'll do it. I just don't understand what's the advantage other than to put a scar on him. And we can do that anytime between now. I think right now our efforts should be put on supporting Comer, supporting Jordan, helping them make sure they've got all the resources. Let's finish this story out. Now, from the impeachment process, I understand that does give us access to other things that we don't have access to right now. If that's the case, I'm all for it.
Investigatory tools have just oversight, but you have more.
But when you get like January 6th stuff and they've already destroyed all the files, I mean, how do you even address that? You know, are they going to destroy everything, you know, ahead of them? I don't know. To answer your question, though, if it comes up on the floor, I will support it, but I'm not one that's pushing it right now. It's got to be done. It will be done. But is this too early? I still don't think Biden's going to run for president. I truly don't. It's going to be a health issue. He's going to back out, and you're going to see Newsom step in there. There's not a doubt in my mind. I've said that for the last year and a half. My staff all disagrees with me. I love it when I'm wrong about some things, and I hope I'm wrong about this one because I think Biden is very beatable. I think even the Democrat Party's beginning to scratch their head and go, wait a minute, this is just not right. So we need to, you know, we need to clean things up and get some younger people involved.
And I know you endorsed Donald Trump last week. Presidential politics, there was a New York Times poll last week, Siena College, showed the two of them tied at 43%. Even with all of Donald Trump's struggles, that's 43% in the popular vote. Donald Trump is tied with Biden in the popular vote. He's going to win the Electoral College.
And you look at the way they're treating Trump, and I'm not a show horse. I'm not one to get out and beat the drum and call things that the way they're not. I'm one to sit back and try to collect information and be knowledgeable when I talk about things. But you see the way they've treated Trump, and I mean, just nitpicking him to death, and his numbers still stay strong. We've got to have, I mean, this country's in trouble. I don't like to feed on the negative, but from financial standpoint, we had 10 banks. They got served the other day, and I think there's another four that they're looking at that's in financial trouble. I mean, these are all the signs of a recession. And a recession, I've gone through one in the 80s. I mean, it is not a pretty sight. When it happens, it takes you a while to dig out. I saw the folks in Houston, Texas, in the oil business that were living underneath the viaducts there. I mean, they lost everything overnight. So we got to be careful we don't go back to something like that. And we need some strong leadership. We need somebody that can call it the way it is. And, you know, that was the final straw with Trump. I said, I'm in. I'm in. Now we get a dark horse that shows up and it really makes it a good strong horse race. I mean, that's from a Republican standpoint, you know, that's good stuff, you know, cause we can all pick from the best of the two. But Donald Trump right now so far ahead, he's so strong. The event the other night, I know I saw you there and said hello. And, when you still see that type of turnout, I mean, that is strong. And that's just not in Alabama. Everybody says, well, Alabama's a Trump state. You can't base it on Trump. But look at his other events. He has the same focus, turning those same people out. And some of the stuff he talked about the other night, I think he had softened his approach on some things. And a couple of areas that got me a little nervous. But he had really softened his approach on some things. And I liked what I heard. I really did.
We need to get a quick break and then
sure,
we'll come
by
back.
All means.
All right. We'll be right back with Congressman Jerry Carl here in studio. This is the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, I was country wasn't too. Yeah, I was country.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. We do appreciate you tuning in. Chris McCool coming up in the next segment, so stay tuned. We got Congressman Carl here for just a few more minutes before we have to part ways. Congressman, we're talking about, I guess, a bunch of different things, but besides the sort of circus going on in the politics, you know, there's still some big hurdles for this Republican Congress to get through with the Senate and then the House as far as funding go, right?
We've got some real problems because we've got on the Republican side, we've certainly have got different objectives that we want to reach. So we've got, I mean, McCarthy's got his hands full to try to balance that. We've got one of the big ones we're going to come back to is the president's going to put a disaster fund together with refunding Ukraine. And, you know, the disaster fund obviously helps us during hurricanes. That's the money that's put aside, you know, after hurricane damage like Sally we had over here. And, of course, I can go through a long list of hurricanes. So that's been depleted. They need more money. And I'm all for that. But he'll stick that in with the Ukraine money. And then there's, I don't remember the exact number, $15 billion more for Ukraine. My response is let's give them $17 billion. They just need to go to Afghanistan and get it off the ground because it's already been delivered there for them. So let them go pick it up. But you know, giving Ukraine more money with everything that we've got going on in this country, I just can't justify it. I cannot justify it with all the needs we have in this country. So that'll be a hard vote. We'll take some criticism on that, especially knowing that's money's needed for the storm debris and cleanup. But that's just one of many. But we get paid for the hard stuff. We don't get paid for the easy stuff. So,
speaking of hard stuff, I-10 bridge and getting some federal money for that. I saw the MPO met. Where are we on that, you think?
Well, we're going to continue to do as much as we can do in Washington. And we're constantly looking for ways to help. I think the governor and I think the House and the Senate has got a plan put together that's going to be moving through. I was told they're going to start driving pylons in the fall. Well, we're there. I don't know if they're going to make that deadline or not. But everyone seems to be pretty positive about, you know, the things getting started here. So the funding will always be an issue until we can figure out how to fund it as a whole. And when I say as a whole, I mean just we've got pieces that's coming from everywhere. No one wants to pay the toll. I get it. I don't want to pay the toll either. We've got to find a way to get it done. We got to get it done. We keep talking about it, but nothing's being done.
About 30 seconds here, I-65, six lane from I-10 to Tennessee. What do you think of that?
Well, I heard that when the president said that, and I thought to myself, great. Let's take federal money and widen all of I-65 and let the governor do her West Corridor road, and we'll have two avenues to go north and south in the state of Alabama. I thought that was an interesting statement. And I've been with Will since then. Will was all excited about it. Ainsworth, Lieutenant Governor.
Hey, we got to get out of here. Congressman, thanks for coming
Thank
by.
Thank you so much. Always good to see you, Jeff.